So what I want us to learn, the main truth this morning, is in a world that has rejected God, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to live his love in his body, which is the church, for his glory and our good. In a world that has rejected God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord is in capitals there because Lord means something. It means the one who's in charge, the one who commands. The Lord Jesus Christ, he calls us to live his love in his body, which is the church, for his glory and our good. So that's what I want you to come away this morning, even though it may seem that I'm going various places to start with, but that's what I want you to come away with this morning. Now, some of you might not know us, so I'm going to give a little brief background of us, and then some of the things we've learned, some of the cultural interesting stories that have really helped us and shaped us, and then start as we talk about what's going on in the church. We've been in Bolivia since 2006, and we arrived there. I'm a pilot and mechanic, so we arrived there with a mission organization. I was flying there to start with, and through a variety of circumstances, God led us out of that, which I won't get into right now, but slowly I started working in discipleship of young Bolivian men, and then I became a associate pastor in a Bolivian church, and finally we started this church. So that's the brief summary of our life in Bolivia. We started the church in 2017. And some of the reasons that we started the church are because of very normal, some cultural issues that are very common in the Bolivian church and in the Bolivian culture. There's a very poor understanding of what the gospel is. When I ask someone, so if I would give conferences when I was doing the discipleship, and I did some conferences with young people mostly, and I would just give them a piece of paper and say, very briefly, write down what the gospel is. And when I did that, basically 10 or 20% of the people were able to give any kind of close definition to what the gospel is. And this is in evangelical Christian churches. One of the denominations that is one of the bigger denominations in Bolivia. Christian, not liberal. And so that was eye-opening to me. And the gospel is not difficult. It's about God, our creator, and our master, who called us to live in fellowship, in submission, and worship of him. It's about our rebellion against him, and what we deserve because of that rebellion. And it's about Christ. And obviously the point of the gospel is who Christ is and what he did on this earth. His life, his death, and his resurrection. And is calling us to repentance and to a restored relationship with him. So that was one of the big things that really got my attention in those early years, that a lack of understanding, and this was among young people. A lot of them were actually 20, 25-year-olds that were teaching Sunday school, teaching smaller children about Christ. And the question is, well, what were they teaching them if they didn't even know what the gospel was? And it was about various other matters that we started to ask the question, well, does God have for us, myself, and that first picture with several of the Bolivian brothers, what does God have for us, and should we start a different church, or a church there? And the questions that we came to ask were, is Christ the Lord of all, or is he just the Lord of our personal devotional life? So does Christ get 20 minutes in the morning, if he's lucky? And then the rest of the week, the rest of the day, is for ourselves. And as we've continued on, one of the things that has really called our got our attention is, what does the organic function of a body look like? Because many people think, well, church is optional. Participating in the body of Christ is something that, well, if I feel like it, I'll go Sunday. If I don't feel like it, that's okay. And it's a very self-centered view, very cultural view of what we think the church is. The main passage for this morning is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6. And I'm just reading from the Pew Bible that you have there, which says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of a calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So this passage actually has been very, in a sense, transformative for myself and for our church, as we've thought about what does it mean to be the body of Christ, the local body of Christ, in the world. In Ephesians chapter 4, the passage that I was talking about, it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Be completely humble and gentle. And maybe I could ask here, everybody here is humble, right? Being humble means to understand your place, to not put yourself above someone else. Be completely humble and gentle. And we have one of the elders, he's not very gentle. And he's been learning. He has a lot of the personality traits that I have, but God has been working in my life a lot longer than this elder. So I've actually learned a lot what it means to be more gentle. But a lot of times you want to go charging into a situation and he doesn't even really know what's actually happened. And so he's been learning what it is to be gentle. But be completely humble, be gentle, bearing with one another in love. And when we bear with one another, bearing with one another has to do with not liking the situation. When you enjoy something, you don't have to bear with it. And here it's talking about bearing with one another. And in a church, a lot of times it's, I don't like that brother. I don't like what he does. I don't like how he does this. And the scripture calls us to bear with one another. It says in the Old Testament and in the New as well, at times we have to overlook faults. It tells us how to go to our brother in love, to deal with sin. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Every effort. And the effort of a lot of us is, well, you know, this church just doesn't really suit me. Or, you know what, I'm having trouble with that brother, or I don't really like the way they're doing things right now, so I'm just not going to go to church for a while. I'm not going to be involved in the lives of my brothers. But it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. And the question we've asked ourselves is, how much does Christ love his church? How much does Christ love his church? Right, enough that he died for his church. His church is his body. How much does Christ love his body? It's one and the same question. And if Christ is working in us, are we showing love for Christ as we love his body, other members of the church? As I said, Bolivia, Canada, we're taught to be self-centered. And that is part of our sinful human nature as well. We don't have to learn to be selfish. We are selfish because of the fall. But a lot of the things that happen in culture, reinforce that. One of the things that's really caught my attention, in Bolivia, if you try to cross a street, you have to realize the cars have the right of way. The pedestrian does not have the right of way. And so, I mean, they might slam on their brakes if you walk out in front of them, but you could get run over. But one of the things that, so you learn that part of it, but the thing I want to get at is here, you have crosswalks. And how do a lot of young people especially walk across a crosswalk? As if no one else in the world existed. That's just one very small example of being very self-centered. And our culture is full of that. And the question is, how are we and how is our church? That's a question, too, we ask in our church in Bolivia. Are we growing in our love for our brothers? Seeing things from their point of view before judging them. Things that are wrong. We have a brother that's really actually getting caught up a lot in sports. He is involved with in a way with a professional soccer team there, and that consumes a lot of his time and energy. And his love for his participation in the church just sort of goes up and down depending on his mood and how much he's involved there. If his work needs him more there, that's okay. He'll abandon basically the church. What does love for him look like? It means to lovingly come alongside of him and say, this is not right. For the well-being, your well-being, for the well-being of your family, and he's leading his family astray in this, this is not good. And to help him to see what God has for him in that. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One Lord, one faith, and when we talk about Lord, Jesus is the Lord. There is no other Lord. Early Christians, they could say Caesar is Lord, the government is Lord, or Jesus is Lord. And it was declaring their ultimate allegiance. Who was it to whom they were loyal? And a lot of them lost freedom. They lost stuff. And they lost their lives when they said, Jesus is Lord. In Romans 10, it says, if you will believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead, that you will confess with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, that part of it, if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That was a radical declaration in those days. That was a radical declaration to say, Caesar is not Lord. And that wasn't just, they didn't say that lightly. They understood that could cost them everything. Both in Canada, over the last 200 years, however long it's been, long time, and even in Bolivia, generally it's not costly to attend a church or to be a Christian. But even though in some senses it doesn't cost us in that way, it should, in the sense of where are our loyalties? And we can see our loyalties by how we spend our time, how we spend our money, and what are the things that really get us down, I guess you could say. What are the things that excite us? What are the things that get us down? Where are our loyalties? I just want to finish reading verses 17 in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. And this is spoken to the church, the body in Ephesus, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. And that sounds a lot like our culture today, doesn't it? That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ, and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And I'll finish with 23 and 24. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word. And just pray that even as I've shared a lot of the cultural things, a lot of the church things, or just a few, I guess, of the things that are happening there, some of the reasons we started our church in Bolivia. And just pray that you would continue to help us, each one of us, to see that you are working in your church. There's a lot of discouragement, but there is a lot of good things happening too. You are calling people to yourself through your eternal gospel. You are sanctifying us. And just pray that you would help us to have the same patience, long-suffering, love to our brother that you are showing and have shown to us as we continue to mature. I pray for the body here that you would continue to grow them together, that they would continue to love each other, be involved in each other's lives, convict in the areas you need to convict, and encourage in the areas, the good things that are happening. And all this under your lordship, that it is for your honor and glory that we do this. We also pray for Iglesia Biblica de Leon this morning, and in these days too, that you would continue to encourage, you would continue to help, not only the leadership, but also the people, to be able to continue to grow together in their love for you, and their love for each other. And thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. And pray that you would continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.